Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 110 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Well, we're going to recap the Boise State Golf Meet tonight as both Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial competed in the Class 4A State Meet in the same year for the first time ever. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Ankeny coach Mike Wedingfeld and one of his top players. We will also have a special guest who is a former standout on the Ankeny squad. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is the head coach at Centennial. And last weekend, he guided the Jaguars to a tie for 10th place in Class 4A. He is Rick Fee. Rick, thanks for coming in. How
are
you doing?
Good, Dan. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, I know you guys entered the meet with some high hopes. You were ranked 6th going into the meet, and I know you were looking to finish among the top 6 teams. And even after shooting a 341 in Friday's opening round that put you in 11th place, you still felt like you had an opportunity to move up in the final round. You guys did improve to a 334 on Saturday, but in the end, you know, the Des Moines Golf and Country Club course just kind of got the better of your guys, didn't it?
It did a little bit, yeah. The greens there are very difficult, and with only getting limited exposure to the course before the actual event, it was kind of tough for our guys to get the speeds right and get the breaks and everything that goes along with that correct. So the short game part of the game really hurt us, and it reflected that in our scores.
So had very many of your guys played that course before?
There's a couple of people who have family out there that have been out there a couple times, and we got everybody a practice round out there the week prior to districts, and I actually used that score to determine who was going to go to districts. So everybody saw it one time, but it's kind of like you can play the same course day after day and still learn something every single day from your experiences.
Sure. Now, do you think it was the speed of the greens or the slopes that caused the most problems for your guys, or was it a combination of those two?
I don't know if it was the speed necessarily, because I thought the district course up in Sioux City at Whispering Creek, those greens were very similar layout-wise to what Des Moines Golf had to offer. It was just, I think, some putts that Coach Smith and I saw, like, that's got to be going uphill, and you see it just goes right away from the kids. It's like, well, no, that's downhill. And it was very deceiving, and just not having the ability to play greens that are as fast or as undulated as those ones were really came back to give us a little bit of a hassle.
Well, and those windy conditions on the first day certainly didn't help either, did they?
No, but we were prepared for the wind as far as the conditions went because of what we played in Sioux City for district. So that we weren't necessarily concerned about how windy it was going to be. Just you had to know where you can miss and not miss around the greens, and that's where we kind of had a little problem.
Well, your team was led by Jack Winkle, who carded rounds of 83 and 81 to tie for 29th place individually with a 164 total. But even Jack told me that those were his worst two rounds of the year, so obviously, you know, he wasn't happy with it, was he?
No, not at all. Our top guys definitely didn't play up to the way that I expected, and nor did the way that they wanted to finish the season out. So I think just our two top guys alone, we probably lost, I'd say, close to 15 shots, and that would have put us closer to that top six finish that we were looking for.
Well, I'll ask you about Jonathan here in a minute, but Jack was followed closely by Lawson Hackmeister, who tied for 32nd with a 165 total. And considering it was the first state meet appearance for the sophomore, you know, you had to be somewhat pleased with his scores.
Absolutely. He's been a grinder all year long, and from the get-go, he started on the JV squad, and he worked his way into a varsity spot and almost solidified his own position as the number three man quite early in the season. And he kept posting mid-70, low-70 rounds, and that just basically told me that he deserved the right to be there, and he was never someone who was going to quit on you, and that's what we're looking for, especially at a younger player.
Now, those colorful socks that he wears, are those some hand-me-downs from you or something? Or?
Absolutely not. I'm not sure who his designer is, but I don't know if I'll ask for his card.
Yeah. Well, your team also got a good effort from Kellen Welsh, who had been your number five player most of the year. Mm-hmm. He had your third best score on Saturday with an 83, and he finished with your third best total at 172. You know, so he really stepped up, didn't he?
Absolutely. Kellen's been kind of the steady Eddie all year long. You're not going to get a whole lot of emotion out of him. He could be 20 over or he could be 5 under, and he's going to look at you the same way and talk to you the same way throughout the round. So that's what we want to have as a team overall, is people who don't get too high, don't get too low, but they kind of just go through the round and just kind of stay steady Eddie.
Then Jack Benkowski and Ethan King both finished with the 177 total, and Jonathan Sidoris rounded out your lineup with the 179 total. And I saw Jonathan hit a great chip shot on number three on Friday that allowed him to save par, and I thought maybe he was on his way to having a great tournament. You know, he's been your number one or two player all season, you know, but he just couldn't get things going, could he?
No, he ran into probably five holes where he made some pretty big numbers. And some of the pins they had out there, and understandably everybody had to play the same golf course in the same conditions, but he left himself in some places where it was extremely hard for him not to make a big number. And out there, those big numbers can add up quite quickly.
Well, now you told me before the meet that you thought Ankeny had a chance to win the title, and you were hoping that they could pull it off. But the Hawks obviously struggled as well and ended up finishing fifth. Waukee took a commanding lead in the first round and went on to win the tournament by 16 strokes over top-ranked Pleasant Valley, and that was their third straight title and the seventh in the last 11 years. You know, what can you say about Waukee? You just can never count them out, can you?
Absolutely not, and especially when you're playing at their home golf course, technically, when three-fourths of their kids are members at Des Moines Golf. When you can play there all the time. I mean, if we had stayed at Briarwood, where three-fourths of my kids are members, but probably have a good shot as well. But never count out Waukee. I learned that their coach is retiring at the end of the year, so they're going to be losing him, and it's right before the split. So who knows what's going to happen to Waukee moving forward. But I know they're very deep. I don't know how many men they carry on their roster, but it's you can never count them out of any tournament.
Well, you guys definitely had a successful season. You essentially tied Johnston in the district meet at Sioux City, although you lost the tiebreaker for first place. The Dragons went on to place fourth at state. So you guys, you know, clearly showed that you could play with anybody, couldn't you?
We can, yeah, if we put our mind to it and we were able to execute the shots the way I know that we can and the boys know that they can, we could play with anybody. It's just with as young of a team as we had this season, just our first priority was to hang a banner that says state qualifier. And after that, everything was extra. I never thought that we could go out there and take it all the way and win state, but a top six finish was our goal. But I think for the four kids that will be returning next year that played at state, they learned a lot about themselves and what it means to be a team and how to fight for every shot.
Well, yeah, your team will graduate, both Johnny Sidoris and Benkowski. But like you said, the rest of the state meet team will be back along with some other talented young players. And like you just said, I mean, you guys got a pretty bright future, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I've said in previous conversations with you, it seems like us and Ankeny, we keep going back and forth where we lose a lot and they bring everybody back, or they're going to lose a lot and then we bring everybody back. So it's just we can never get on the same page, it seems like, in 1 year. So I'm very hopeful and optimistic for what our future holds for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, Coach Whittingfeld's got some rebuilding to do next year, and we'll be talking to him about that here in a little while. Well, Rick, thanks for coming in tonight, and congratulations on a great season, and thanks a lot for everything.
All right, thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a junior on the Centennial squad. He carded an 83 in Saturday's final round to finish with a 172 total, allowing him to tie for 55th place in a field of 84 golfers. He is Kellen Welsh. Kellen, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Well, I know you guys weren't happy with the 10th place finish overall, but you obviously stepped up, you know, with a solid round to provide one of the counting scores on Saturday. You know, were you pleased with your play individually?
The second day, yes. I feel like the last three holes I went double bogey double, so I know I could have finished even better. But from day one to day two, I knew that I could have improved, because day one I probably had one of the worst nine-hole stretches of my season. So if I just went out there and played my game day two, I knew I was going to play better.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit more. You opened the tournament on Friday with an 89. Now, had you ever played that course before?
I've played it. I've played the South course there once with a family friend, and then once with our team in a practice round the North course.
Oh, okay. Well, you had a 47 on the front nine that first day, and then a 42 on the back. You know, were you nervous at all, you know, for the start?
Yeah, the first tee, there's a lot more people there than I expected to be, but I did hit the fairway that first shot. It's just I couldn't get anything going the front nine. I didn't par a single hole, but then on the back nine, I got it to a 42, which is all right for my game.
Sure. Well, we talked with the coach about, you know, the windy conditions on that first day. I mean, did that make things more difficult for you?
Definitely, but I mean, everyone's playing in the same conditions, so like, I just got to go out there and battle every hole.
When we talked about, you know, what a challenge those greens were for everybody, I mean, did you ever feel like you figured them out?
Day two, I had the speed more dialed in than day one. I feel like day two, there's also some more tougher pin placements. So to go out there and not three putt any holes, well, I three putted a couple times, but just grinding every putt and just trying to get up there and two putt every hole was my main goal.
Well, yeah, I would think after seeing the course on Friday, I mean, that's got to help for the second round. I mean, no matter what course you're playing, I mean, it always helps to see the course once, doesn't it?
Definitely, like, especially Des Moines Golf, because that, I mean, the Solheim Cup was there, so that obviously shows the level of course it can play at, and those greens are just something else.
When your final round, you had a birdie on the par five, a number two hole. So did you make a nice putt there?
I would say the best shot of that hole was my approach. I stuck it to about 8 feet, and yeah, obviously made a nice putt to capitalize on that approach.
We struggled toward the end of that front nine with a double bogey on 7 and 9, as well as a bogey on 8. And then you followed with three more bogeys on 10, 11, and 12, but you regrouped and played the final six holes and won over par to shoot a 40 on the back nine. You had your second birdie on the par 4-15, so was that another nice putt?
Well, yeah, that was another. That was like a 40-footer I made. We actually started on the 10th hole the second day.
Oh, okay.
So I started bogey, 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 and then we ended on 7, 8, and 9.
Oh, okay. So I got my holes mixed up there, but I got you what you're saying. So we certainly stepped into the lineup this year and played a valuable role for the team. You know, did you expect to kind of have that role this year coming into it?
Well, after my sophomore year, I knew I had a good freshman year, and then after my sophomore year, I kind of regrouped and worked hard this summer and tried to get into a varsity spot, and I feel like I had a good year. There was a couple of meets during the middle of the season where I wish I could have played better, but I mean, that's golf. You're obviously going to have some rough days. And overall, I think it was a pretty good year.
Now, because of COVID-19, were you able to play much over the summer?
I was. The Iowa PGA, I think, did a pretty good job putting out events for juniors to play in.
Well, looking ahead to next year, do you feel like, you know, this team has a lot of potential with the returning talent that it has?
I do think so. I think first our goal will be to get to state, and then once we get to state, just play our good golf that we know we can play, and I think we'll finish pretty high.
Well, you guys will be losing, you know, one of your top players in Johnny Sadoris. So do you expect to take on an even bigger role next year? Maybe be one of those top four guys?
That's what I'm going to try and do this summer, just keep getting better every day, and we'll see where I end up during tryouts next year.
All right, Kellen. Well, thanks for coming in. Congratulations on a great season.
Thanks.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker. Coldwell Banker Mid-America is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomerantz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, my next guest is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and he's also a former golfer at Ankeny. He played for the Hawks from 1989 to 92, and as a senior, he led the team to an eighth-place finish in the Class 4A state meet by shooting a two-day total of 159. He is Andy Logan. Andy, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Hey, good to be here.
Well, before we talk a little golf, let's talk about Coldwell Banker a little bit. We're absolutely thrilled to have you guys on board as the sponsor of the podcast. You know, we hope to have a long relationship with you guys. So how long have you been with Coldwell?
So I've been with Coldwell. I was with them for 15 years, and this is my 16th year, 20 years in the business.
All right. Well, my wife and I just moved into a new house in the Renaissance Villas over there by Otter Creek and Briarwood, and I know how hard, you know, our realtor worked to sell our old house. So I have a lot of respect for what you guys do, and I know you work some long hours. Now, how would you describe, you know, the market right now? Is there kind of a dearth of properties in the Ankeny area?
You know what? We're so low on properties, actually, in the Ankeny area right now. It's a fantastic time to sell your home. It's a fantastic to buy a home. So, yeah.
And you have some MJ Properties units that are available right now, too, right?
Absolutely. Right now, we are building four new units townhome-wise for MJ, and we're getting them sold as soon as they get in the ground. So,
now, are those the ones up off 18th?
They are. So we're on 18th and Irvindale, yes, and then 18th and State also. So
okay, yeah. I know I looked at some of those properties when we were looking. We ended up buying one. Yeah, it's one that MJ built way back in the day.
Yeah, Renaissance. They're great units.
Very nice. Yeah, yes. We're very happy there. What would you like people to know about, you know, Coldwell Banker and the services that you provide?
So Coldwell is a family atmosphere for sure. First and foremost, it is take care of your clients. We're all about word of mouth. Referrals and having family members and friends come back to us.
Wendy, let's talk a little golf right now.
Yeah.
You obviously played for Ankeny back in the day.
I did.
So have you followed, you know, how the Ankeny teams have been doing this year and what they did at the state meet?
I absolutely have. I'm proud of both the teams, Centennial and the Hawks. They both had a great year. The Hawks a little bit more successful, but overall both teams did a fantastic job.
Well, I was out there last week, and both teams really struggled with their putting at the Des Moines Golf and Country Club, and that's obviously not an easy course. Have you ever played there?
I have played there. It is. It's one of those courses that you need a lot of local knowledge to play well. I know Waukee is a tremendous team who won the state title. I do know five of their six players are members there, and that helped them out a ton.
Oh, it had to, yeah. Well, I'm not much of a golfer, but I just watching some of those kids putt, you know, they'd have a short putt, and it'd go by the hole, and then it'd just keep rolling. And I'm thinking, man, there's no way I'd want to play on this course.
Absolutely. You know, those young kids have no nerves. They hit the putt that they see, and sometimes it goes in, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, I mentioned that you played in the state meet as a senior at Ankeny. What do you remember most about, you know, your high school days?
You know what? We had such a good time. One of the co-owners of MJ actually played golf back then too, Jason Luch. And he wasn't on our team then, but fantastic golfer now. And he takes me to town every time we play now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I remember covering Jason in high school, you know, with football, basketball, and baseball. I didn't realize that he played golf. So yeah. Has he gotten better as he's gotten older?
He has gotten a lot better. Yes, he has. Yeah, three-time All-State performer in baseball, basketball, and football. So golf was his leisure sport, I guess, and now he's as good as about anyone.
Well,
so
good for him. Well, about 2 months ago, we announced our Ankeny Fanatic all-time Ankeny boys golf team. Your name was one that certainly I came across, you know, when I was doing some research for that project. You know, there are just so many good golfers in Ankeny's history, and Hunter Johnson may have, you know, earned a spot on that team with his fourth place finish from last weekend.
Absolutely. Yep.
But as you looked at that team, I mean, do you think we got it mostly right?
You absolutely did. Ton, like you said, a ton of very, very good golfers that played at Ankeny and that have come through the ranks. And I'm really good friends with Hunter's dad, Scott, mm-hmm. and fantastic golfer, played at Iowa, was a very good golfer there, and just a even better person.
Now, do you still play a lot yourself?
You know what? I don't play as much anymore as I used to, but both my sons play all the time now. My oldest son was on the freshman team this year, so had a fantastic year. So you bet.
All right. We'll just finish up here with another quick note about Coldwell. So if anybody's interested in any of the properties that you know that you represent or whatever, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. You can go to andy.logan@cbdsm or you can call my phone at 515-979-4494. Go to mjpropertiesankeny.com. Or .org, I'm sorry, and you're there, so you bet.
All right, Andy. Well, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
You bet. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, my next guest is the longtime head coach at Ankeny, and last weekend he guided the Hawks to a fifth-place finish in Class 4A in their first state meet appearance since 2012. He is Mike Weddingfeld. Mike, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, doing good. We've had a few days to digest the results of the state meet. You know, as you look back at it now, you know, do you have more feelings of disappointment or satisfaction in what you guys were able to accomplish?
Definitely satisfaction. Like you said, it's the first time we've been back to the state tournament since 2012 and the split. And so we had some kind of lean years there for a while. So I knew with the group that I had this year that through the last few years, you know, golf is kind of their game and they really enjoy it. So I knew we had a chance last year and this year, and we've talked before about how last year ended up for us. But, you know, we just had our banquet last night, and I told the kids and looked at our season as a whole and all the accomplishments we did and the successes we had throughout the season. So, yeah, we didn't win a state championship, but we still had a very successful season. So that's what I looked at.
Sure. Well, you guys were ranked second going into the meet, and you went undefeated through the entire season until you placed second in the district meet at Willow Creek, where you lost to Waukee on a tiebreaker. So you certainly had to feel good about, you know, your team's chances going into the meet.
Definitely. We thought we had as good a chance as anybody, and I still think we do. We really struggled on the greens over there, which they're fantastic greens. They just have a lot of nuances, I guess you could call it. And if you haven't played on them very often, you just you know, Hunter said, you know, it was hard to look at a 3-footer and think it's going to break that much. I just couldn't get my brain to hit it far enough to the right or left. And then, you know, he missed it. And he had 9 3-putts over the 2-day tournament. And so you take away those 3-putts, he wins by 3 strokes. The team, after the first day we talked, we had 16 3-putts as the 4 scores that counted for us. So those 16 strokes were the difference between third and first place. And I think, you know, talking to Ty, we had more than that the second day. So putting alone lost the tournament for us. Definitely. The kids felt like they played pretty well. I felt like they played well, just not with the putter.
Now, I didn't think about this until Coach Fee mentioned it here a little bit ago, but, you know, that course is somewhat of, Waukee's home course because those kids get a chance to play there. Had many of your kids played there before?
No. We truthfully, I think, played maybe three practice rounds, some of them. Some of them only played there twice before we could go there, and that's just that's the hard thing about golf. You know, you go to a football field, it's the same 100 yards. You go to a basketball court, it's the same no matter what town you're in, but every golf course is different, and so that, I think, hurt us that we didn't have the familiarity that, the other schools did, like Waukee, to play there and to be successful.
Well, Waukee showed at the district meet that perhaps, you know, they were peaking at the right time. And, of course, they were already the two-time defending champions. So given the fact that they did have somewhat of an advantage, I mean, you had to be awfully concerned about them going into the meet.
Definitely. I mean, you look at their record the last, what, 10 or 11 years. I think they've won seven times. And so they know how to win. And I think that's part of that is that culture. That gives you that confidence when you've done it before, when you know that you can do it, regardless of how your season's going. The confidence of knowing that it's a home course, not necessarily a home course, but of course they've all played a lot. And so those confidences really kind of give you that little extra edge over the competition, which mentally is huge in golf.
Oh, sure. Well, your team shot a 318 in Friday's opening round, which put you in third place, but you were 16 strokes behind Waukee. At the time, that was your highest score of the season, but you still felt like, you know, you guys had a chance to make up that ground on Saturday, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think I told you that before that when we talked that night that, you know, 16 strokes sounds like a lot, but when you count four scores, if we, each of my four guys count, you know, shoot two strokes better and each of their four guys shoot two strokes worse, that's 8 and 8, which is 16 the last time I checked. So it really isn't that out of the question. Our goal was to just go out and shoot a couple strokes better for each guy. And some guys did that, some guys didn't. Waukee didn't really shoot. I think they shot, what, one stroke worse?
I think so, yeah.
And so they did what they needed to do and stayed where they were. We just didn't make a move on anybody.
Yeah, you guys shot a 320 then on Saturday for a 638 total, which did drop you into fifth place. And like you said earlier, you know, you guys just couldn't figure out those greens, could you?
No, like I said, the kids, and that was the most frustrating part for myself and for the kids, is they really played well. They hit the ball well. They felt like they were playing well when I talked to them, but it was just, I had another three putt, coach, or I missed another putt, or, and eventually that soaks into your brain. And after the first day, I know they were thinking, oh man, I got this 2-footer that when you're putting great, those are easy. But when you've missed a few, those 3-footers start looking like 5 and 6-footers and makes it even more difficult. And we call them knee knockers.
Yeah. Well, I know I talked to Eric Taylor on one hole, and he told me that Dylan had just 4-putted on one hole. So that sounds like something I'd do.
Well, it's not that difficult to do on tricky greens like that.
Now, is that course similar to any other courses that you guys play regularly, or is it kind of a unique course in that regard?
I think it's unique. It's such a nice course. The greens, I think, we play Fort Dodge Country Club, and they can be a little bit tricky, but they still don't have the – they mostly slope front to back. Des Moines Golf and Country Club, I mean, they've got hills and valleys, and they go right and left. And so, again, even – your approach shots, thinking about if the pin's back right, you know, the good place to miss is where. And those are things that you learn over time, not just after a couple practice rounds.
Sure. Well, one of the highlights for your team was Hunter Johnson's fourth place finish as an individual. He shot a 76 on Friday that included an eagle from about 75 yards out on the 18th hole. And then he followed up with a 74 on Saturday for a 150 total. Now, I know Hunter felt like he had a chance to win the whole thing, but, you know, you still have to be awfully proud of what he accomplished.
Oh, definitely. Golf, you know, is ups and downs, and he had his ups and downs. He'd had make a couple birdies, then he'd make a couple bogeys, and that's golf. And the thing about all of my guys is they can have a bad hole or two, but they know that they can make birdies coming back. If I remember right, Hunter had a couple bad holes, maybe 16, 17, I think he might have bogeyed. Just had a bad break on 16, I think it was. He hit into the bunker and was right up against the lip. And he was getting kind of down and felt like he was kind of out of it. And then all of a sudden, one shot later, you know, he throws it in from 75 yards and makes eagle. and he's right back in the mix. Mm-hmm. And that's the cool thing about golf is, and I tried to stress to the guys over the years, and I think they finally sunk in by the time they're a senior, but when you have that kind of talent, anything can happen. So you can't count yourself out. And that, I think, gave him the momentum to say, hey, I can do this. Anything can happen. And he had his bad shots and his bad holes on Saturday as well, but he just hung in there and didn't give up. And I don't think any of the guys gave up. It's just he was able to pull it out a little bit better than some of the other guys and finish strong.
Well, your team also got a strong effort from Ty Rogge here, who fired a 78 on Friday and finished with a 160 total that was good for a tie for 20th place. You know, he was another guy that was really consistent this year, wasn't he?
Exactly. He works his butt off at it, plays just as much as anybody else, and Ty gets out there, and when he gets on a roll, that's when you see the smile on his face, the little bounce in his step, that's when you know everything's going well. And when he gets off to a good start, and he did that on Friday and played really, really solid all day for us and was super proud of him. And Saturday he didn't play bad either. Again, the putter got to him. He'll be the first one to say that, and I don't know how many three putts he had, but again, you take away our three putts and we're right back down to where we were shooting all year long, and that was just the difference for us this year, or this meet.
Sure. Wanted to mention the other guys. Dylan Taylor shot an 81 on Saturday and tied for 29th overall with a 164 total. Corbin Walker had an 81 on Friday and finished with a 166. Joey Newton carted an 83 on Saturday and had a 170 total, and Carson Weedy finished with a 175 total. You know, I'm sure none of those guys were happy with their scores, but, you know, there were a lot of teams that struggled on that course. And your team actually finished just 5 strokes out of third place, but you finished 15 strokes ahead, or I guess 19 strokes ahead of the sixth place team from Linmar. So there really was a separation between the top 5 teams and the rest, wasn't there?
Yeah, there is. When I looked at that, and that's why when you look, I try not to look too much at the rankings all year long, because, again, every golf course is different, and I know they try to adjust that so that it all comes out equal, but I don't know that it really does in mm-hmm. the end. But we knew when we were one of the top teams, and, you know, Carson Weedy's a sophomore. He never played varsity for us until this year, and he played varsity most of the time but not all the time. So, you know, he was nervous as all get out both days, and it's just a different atmosphere at State. You've got – usually you're used to mom and dad and maybe mm-hmm. grandma and grandpa watching you. And now you've got 20 people following you that you've never seen before and cheering and all that stuff. So it's an awesome experience, but mentally it's hard to get over that and to get used to that. And so for all the guys, it was just a brand new experience. And we talked about just taking it in and enjoying it. Whatever we shoot, we shoot, but you know, state championships are great and awesome, but enjoy the experience, especially your senior year.
Well, Hunter told me afterwards that he was pleased that he and his fellow seniors were able to change the culture of the program. And I don't know if he was talking specifically about the dedication of the players, but I know you've told me how these guys would often stay afterwards following practice and continue to work on things on their own. You know, they were just kind of on a mission to succeed, weren't they?
They were. And I think part of that, when we talked at the end of last year over at Whispering Creek in Sioux City, when we missed it by one stroke, you know, we had high expectations that year, and I think that gave them the fire and the drive to, hey, we're not going to let that happen again this year. And so the off season, the summer, you know, working with their other swing coaches and just putting in the time, and hopefully that rubbed off on my younger guys that just saw them out there. You know, when they're getting in their car and leaving and those guys are asking for another bucket of balls, that's the culture that I hope we're facilitating, and those younger guys realize that. I also think when you start winning, it makes it easier on your program as well. And since the split, not only golf, but, you know, our basketball team won a state championship. The football team's doing great. The volleyball team's always been tough. And mm-hmm. so when we get that winning culture back in all of our sports, I think it just makes the kids more involved, want to work harder, try harder, and get that taste for winning back.
Well, this was obviously one of the best teams you've ever coached, but now you will lose those 5 seniors that have been such a big part of the program for the last 4 years. You mentioned Carson, you know, he'll be back from the state meet team. But, you know, are you looking forward to next season, or do you not want to look ahead yet?
You know, I always look forward to it. I like to have a week or two off just because it's crazy and I've got my own kids' stuff going on, and so now it helps my wife out a little bit. But here when it gets cold, and after about a week or two of the cold, I'll be wishing for golf again. And so I've already looked at the kids. You know, we've got a lot of young kids. The scores they were posting for us, you know, low to mid 80s, which is about where a lot of sophomores shoot. Drew Henson's another freshman for us that once he gets a little more maturity under his belt, and by maturity I mean on the golf course and just getting used to playing competitive golf for your high school team, he'll be one that'll step up for us. And really it comes down to how much do those guys want to work in the off season. We have such a short season. I tell them every year, I cannot make you a golfer in 2 months. It's the other months on the outside, you know, if they can go to winter camps, if they're not, I know some of them are playing basketball and that's super awesome. I don't want them to give that up, but just how much time they can put in the off season will determine how good we can be next year. No matter what grade they're in, but yeah, it's definitely going to be a little bit of rebuilding, and I'll probably call them, some of the guys the wrong name, because I've been used to talking to those five guys for 3 and 4 years, so I might be yelling Hunter and Ty's name at some of them.
Well, it was a great season, Mike. You know, congratulations on a great year, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker. At Coldwell Banker Mid-America, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, my final guest tonight was a senior on the Ankeny squad and one of the Hawks' top players. He carded a 36-hole total of 160 to tie for 20th place at the state meet. He is Ty Roghair. Ty, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, I talked to you after the meet on Saturday. I know you told me that you struck the ball really well throughout the tournament, but that you had 5 3 putts on Friday and 8 more on Saturday. So like a lot of your teammates, you know, you just couldn't make any putts, could you?
No, it was really tough out there. We, like our coach was saying, the greens were hard to get used to. We haven't really played on anything that fast or slopey all season, and that's just one of those courses where you have to go out and putt on those greens a few times to get used to it.
So were those greens unlike anything that you'd seen this year?
For the most part, anything in that we played for tournaments for school was all a lot different. They were a lot slower and a lot flatter greens compared to Des Moines golf.
So how many practice rounds had you played there before?
I'd only played the course one other time when we went there as a team a couple weeks prior, but the night before the meet, we got to go out there and look at the greens, which helped a little bit.
So when you did play that one round, I mean, what was your thoughts about the course? I mean, what did you think you were going to have to do to be successful on that course?
Going into it, we knew that the course would suit our games off the tee and around the greens and stuff fine, but it was hard to get a feel for the greens when we were there because a few days prior they had aerated everything, so it wasn't anything like what we saw a few weeks later in the tournament.
Now, what was your individual goal going into the meet? Did you feel like a top 10 finish was attainable?
Yes, I did. Going into the meet, I had just like put a lot of work in my swing, and I was in a really good place, striking the ball well, and I'd been working on my putting, which was starting to come around, and I felt pretty confident that I could go pretty low both days.
Well, yeah, you played some of your best golf late in the season. You shot a 71 to earn medalist honors in the Southeast Polk Invitational on September 23rd at Copper Creek. And then after you struggled to an 87 at the conference meet the following week, you rebounded to shoot a 74 for a fourth-place finish at the district meet last Monday. So, yeah, you had to feel pretty good about your game going into state.
Yeah, of course. At Copper Creek, I struck the ball really well. And a couple days after that, I started to there was a few things going wrong with my swing that I had to work on for a while, which is the main reason I struggled so much in Mason City, but got things right where it needed to be going into the postseason.
Well, as a team, I know you guys were confident as well. You know, you did lose that tiebreaker to Waukee at the district meet, but, you know, you guys were one of the favorites to win the state title, and you had to like your chances going into the meet.
Yeah, of course. We were all really confident with where we were, and all of us had been playing really good golf recently, and we just felt confident that if we played our game, we would be tough to beat.
Well, you shot a 78 in Friday's opening round that put you in a tie for 12th place. You know, that was kind of an up-and-down round for you because you had two double bogeys and two birdies on the front nine, but then you settled down and had another birdie on number 14 and played the back nine and even par until you bogeyed number 18. So you had to be pretty happy with that round, especially in those windy conditions.
Yeah, of course. I was very pleased with the 78 that day and with how windy it was. That whole day, I struck the ball really well. There was just a few shots here and there that were costly, and they were just in the wrong places, which were hard to recover from, but I bounced back with some birdies a couple holes later.
Well, we talked with Coach about, you know, how you guys were 16 shots behind Waukee after that opening round. Did you feel like it was possible to make up that deficit the next day?
Yeah, we knew that me and Hunter played all right, but every other guy on our team knew that they could go a lot lower than what they did the day before. And they all, including me and Hunter, were very confident that we could put up a fight the next day.
On Saturday, you made a birdie on number 9 to get to 3 over for the day, but then you struggled to a 43 on the back 9, including a double bogey on number 13. Now, I know you guys don't typically play, you know, 36-hole tournaments in 2 days, so do you think fatigue was a factor at all for you?
Not necessarily the fatigue. It was more of, at that time, all the Waukee kids, we knew they were playing really good, and it was just kind of, like, hard to hear, and yeah, we...
Maybe more mental fatigue?
Yeah, more of a mental fatigue for sure.
Well, 4 of your teammates were able to post better scores on Saturday than they did on Friday, including Hunter Johnson, who shot a 74 and placed 4th overall. You know, what can you say about the year that he had? He was a 6-time medalist for you guys. You could just always count on him, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Hunter was awesome the whole way through the season. Every single meet, no matter which one of us struggled, he was always there to post a good score for us and put us in good position. And it was good for me and Corbin to back him up at districts this year, even though he didn't shoot his best. And it was good to see him finish high at state.
Well, your lineup was just so solid up and down. I mean, did that kind of take the pressure off all you guys? Because you knew that if you had a bad round, that probably 4 guys would have a good score.
Yeah, of course. The whole season, all 6 of our top guys had counted their scores. And if one of us had a bad day, we knew that one of our other guys would step us up for us.
Well, Ty, what are your future plans? Are you looking to play golf next year in college?
I'm not playing any competitive golf. I'm probably going to go to Iowa State University, and I might join the club golf team there.
Oh, okay. Do you know what you're going to study there yet?
I'm going in for engineering.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, congratulations on a great year, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker and MidAmerica. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Rick Fee and Kellen Welsh from the Ankeny Centennial Boys Golf Team, and then Mike Weddingfeld and Ty Roghair from Ankeny Squad, as well as Andy Logan from Coldwell Banker. I want to thank all those gentlemen for coming in tonight. Come back next week for another edition of the podcast. We'll be previewing some playoff football.